Hi, I'm LC, and I'm a storyteller. I'm a passionate chemist who loves to explore and tell stories about how chemistry can change the world.
And I'm Danny, and I'm LC's spirited chemistry co-host. I love to bring high energy and positivity to my chemistry, but also my life. Welcome to the Farm to Table podcast. LC, when Shane moved on to join Discovery Chemistry in around 2013, you actually became the head of the catalysis and automation team. Can you take us further down the journey of some of the next phases for this group?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it was a really exciting assignment for me. I mean, obviously, I have a background in catalysis, but had never actually worked in the catalysis lab. All my experience was sort of on projects. So I was really fascinated by sort of how do we expand the influence that team and the subject matter expertise that team had. And a lot of that was sort of in flight, right? So one of the big things that the automation team had been working on is sort of how to democratize high throughput experimentation. So a lot of people tend to think of like fancy robots and 96 well plates and things that are really difficult for end users to use. But the reality is you can do quite a bit of HTE just by using 24 well plates that you can buy relatively cheaply from a number of suppliers now, and a multi-channel pipetter, or even just a single channel pipetter. And so we started developing these kits, and there was a lot of enthusiasm around this. And this was driven by, you know, Melody Christensen and Spencer Dreyer and Matt Tudge, and really developing a champions network, which we now call the Catalysis Champions Network in Discovery.
Clever name.
As well. Yeah. To basically just say like, hey, these are tools that everyone can use, and you don't need to wait for the 12 subject matter experts in the catalysis lab to run a cross-coupling reaction for you. And, you know, now there are dozens of these kits that are available across the entire network. And in fact, now you can buy them from suppliers. So we sort of shared this technology, and I was part of a consortia during this time to actually work with other pharma companies and design sort of the kits that now Aldrich is selling, right? And that, I think, was a really important thing, because now if you think about the catalysis lab, it can really focus on the cutting edge of innovation, because we don't have to go back and screen sort of routine Suzuki couplings, you know, because we have this ability of sort of having end users. And I would say over a 10-year period or so, now every new employee that comes to Merck gets trained on how to do this themselves, and is tremendously enabling for them, right, in terms of what they can do. And I know you've had experienced this in Kenilworth. Like, it's just really easy for people to do this themselves.
It's super easy. And it's, and like you said, we're now getting to a point where it's just expected that you need to know how to use these tools. It just becomes part of your day-to-day workflows.
Yep, absolutely. And so with that sort of initiative, you know, sort of pushing forward, we started focusing on like, okay, what is the future of HTE? What are the areas where we would like to go? And one of the areas where we always got pushback from people was the material requirements for running HTE, right? So every reaction has about a milligram or even 2 or 3 milligrams in it, which sounds like not a lot. But when you add up that over hundreds of reactions, you can actually require quite a bit of substrate. And so especially for our discovery colleagues, or very early in route scouting when it's a little harder to get materials, that just wasn't going to work. And Spencer Dreyer was really driving with a postdoctoral fellow this idea that we could really miniaturize these reactions. And so we really focused on what are the technologies out there that we could use to do that. And ultimately, you know, we're very successful in developing reactions in 1536, which basically use like a microliter of solvent, a few microliters of solvent. And, you know, there were growing pains there, but that ended up being really impactful. I mean, obviously it was a nice paper, but also this is sort of the basis for some of the work that Shane mentioned in terms of doing direct biology HT, which I think was really important. And then the other area where we focused at the time was this idea that we needed to sort of expand into new areas. So, you know, we talked about asymmetric hydrogenation and then cross-coupling. And so one of the areas that we focused on was photochemistry. So if you think about this, this is late 2012, early 2013. We're about 5 years past the beginning of the resurgence, if you will, of photochemistry, and specifically photoredox catalysis. But we had to go and develop, like, how do you screen those reactions in 96 well plates? Because you got to get light in them, right? And Matt Tudge led a lot of that effort early on. And then Dan DiRocco, who had recently joined the group and was a photochemistry expert, really drove some of the early adoption and was really, I think, the beginning of our investments in photochemistry, which now are things that we do routinely, but, you know, drove a lot of our investments in flow reactors and a lot of that stuff as well. And so those are probably the three things that I think were sort of new directions for the catalysis lab. And, you know, I was in the role for about 2 years and handed off to Becky Ruck, but it was sort of like a really fun time in my career. It was a very rewarding experience as almost like an academic environment to a certain extent, because we were always investing in new technologies in addition to the sort of key pipeline projects that we had to work on.
I would say that when I joined Merck in 2014, I believe you were still the head of the Catalysis Group. Yeah, and it was something that I basically knew that I would want to go into that group at some point. And in 2017, I was able to. But I was just going to say that all of the investments that you made for democratizing HTE and also building the capabilities to do photochem, I greatly benefited from, and so did a lot of other folks. So my first project, I did an additive screen, which that was super fun. Again, no robots. I was the robot with my multi-channel pipette. And then later on, doing a decatungstate photocatalysis, we had all these LED arrays and could, you know, really readily screen conditions and find some really cool chemistry that I have thoroughly enjoyed. So those are some of my favorite reactions. LC, can you maybe tell us about, you know, what is the favorite reactions that your team developed while you were a leader of this group?
Yeah, it was a really fun time. I think there's one reaction in particular that was really interesting, but we've talked about it before on the podcast, and I think I want to highlight a couple things that we worked on that I was really fascinating. You mentioned decatungstate chemistry. So our journey with decatungstate chemistry at Merck started with the fluorination of leucine. So you can use leucine and do direct fluorination of the gamma position using a decatungstate catalyst, and that came through an academic collaboration. So you and I are big fans. And Rob Britton, who's a friend of mine and actually used to work at Merck, is now a professor at Simon Fraser University. And he had done a sabbatical, and during his sabbatical had sort of stumbled upon decatungstate and had started using it for different things. And because he knew fluoroleucine was an important non-canonical amino acid for molecules in our pipeline, he sort of reached out and we collaborated on that. And that was a lot of fun because, A, we learned a lot about decatungstate, and I feel like there's been a resurgence in decatungstate in the last 10 years. And before that, there wasn't that much out there. And then also, it was sort of our first foray back into non-canonical amino acids, which is another thing that we're really excited about these days. And ultimately, fluoroleucine and the chemistry of odinacatab, which is the molecule that it's ultimately in, is one of the stories that ultimately made me want to come to Merck. So when Greg Hughes came to the University of Ottawa to give the talk about the development of the process for odinacatab, which has fluoroleucine in it, I was just like blown away by the science that they were doing. So to have an opportunity to work on that myself was kind of cool. You know,
it was pretty cool.
It was sort of a rewarding experience. And then the other one, which we can link in the comments, is at some point we stumbled upon a really interesting CN coupling that actually sets an adjacent stereocenter. And that one was really cool because it turned out to be a weird catalyst activation story. And we talked about that with Shane. And ultimately, the catalyst is a phosphine monooxide of a bisphosphine. And that was super interesting to deconvolute, and ultimately was a really cool Jax paper. And it was an impactful reaction for the project we were working on. So those are probably the two things for two different reasons. One was because it was really cool, and the other one, I think it was more of an emotional attachment to the molecule. But certainly those are probably my, you know, two of my favorites that I worked on in that time.
That's great. Well, thanks, LC, for kind of walking us through the Campo era of the Catalysis Group. And I'm looking forward to hearing how Becky has ushered the team from 2015 until, you know, today.
Yep, definitely. So, and next time we're going to sit down with Becky and she'll walk us through sort of the next era to today and where we're going in the future as well. So tune in for that. Thanks for listening, everyone. Toodaloo.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Farm to Table podcast. This would not have been possible without our fabulous producer, Mark Partridge, and listeners like you. Be sure to check our episode credits where you'll find more details about the show, as well as links to anything that we've discussed during the show.
If you find yourself craving even more info, you can find us both on Twitter. I am at Danny the Chemist, and LC can be found at Dr. LC Squared. But of course, our show also has a handle, and that is at Farm to Table Pod. Farm with a PH, in case you were wondering, where you'll find some behind-the-scenes action, future episodes and sneak peeks, and likely some random posts about chemistry, snacks, and whatever else.
Of course, we'd love to hear from you, so please interact with us on Twitter. Feel free to post any chemistry papers, Merck chemistry papers that you found particularly memorable and that maybe you want us to build an episode around.
So stay tuned, folks.